So we're going to look at what the Christian hope is. It entails the mercy and grace of God, the living hope, and the results of that, of the living hope. That's the Christian's hope. We see the scripture that Ted had led us this morning in the reading in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's the Christian's hope. We see by the mercy of God and God's grace, it has been given to us. And he starts off that particular scripture by saying in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again. We see the Hebrew writer in chapter 4, verse 16 says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of our need. God's mercy and grace is there for you and I. And it's up to you and I to seek that out with confidence as we approach God's throne of grace. Because his promises, he is faithful to his promises. And we should realize by us having faith in his word, by his mercy and grace, we will attain eternal life. God is merciful. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, but God being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. So we see that God's mercy, he gives that to us freely. And he blesses us. And he loves us. He created us so that you and I can worship him, glorify him, honor him in our lives today, and also when we are with him in heaven. God's mercy and grace are seen in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote to the saints at Rome and said in chapter 3, verse 22 through 24, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace, through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. God's righteousness is for all of those who believe. And there's no differentiation between one person and the next. Whether you're a young convert or mature in the faith, there's no difference. It's for all, because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But his grace covers a multitude of those sins that we have. His mercy that he shares with you and I covers many of our shortcomings. And it's through the redemption of Christ Jesus. He died on the cross so that you and I may have the opportunity to be with him in heaven. It's not a guarantee, but it gives us the opportunity to live a faithful life as we dwell on this earth. And where do we find those instructions? Well, that's in God's Word, in the Bible, that the Holy Spirit inspired men to write so that you and I could apply those things to our lives to better serve God. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God in me. Paul is sharing with the saints at Corinth what God had given him. And if we look at Paul's life before he was a Christian, he was a devout Jew who had in his mind to destroy the works of Jesus Christ. But yet Jesus gave him a direction. Paul needed help in his life. And he received that help. We studied that this morning in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 19, his conversion. And we see that Ananias, a Christian, helped Paul not only to regain his sight, but more important, to secure his soul by being baptized into the Lord. The grace of God in Christians' lives, we see that it's God's compassion toward us. He cares for you and I. He loves you and I. So as a people, we should obey him. We should listen to him. We should put him first in our lives, making sure he's our number one priority. Before we do anything else, put God first in your lives. And I'll tell you, you'll see that you will receive his mercy and grace throughout your life. You may not be aware of that in the instant, but yet when you look upon back on your life, you could see how God worked and God extended his mercy and grace to you. Our total dependence is upon God. He gives us all the physical blessings we need to survive on this earth. How much more do you think he's going to give you in heaven? Something that each and every one of us are striving to be in heaven with him. Our lives are fulfilled by God's unmerited favor. God gives us everything. He extends to you and I mercy and grace. And it's up to you and I to put that in our lives so that we may be faithful servants of his, doing his will, helping our brothers and sisters, and more important, sharing the gospel message with others. Because we have a living hope. Hope overcomes despair. David writes in Psalms chapter 43 and verse 5, "Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." That statement is profound because we should all realize that we have hope in God. Even in times of our troubles, our trials, and tribulations, God is there for us. Reach out to him. And how do we do that? By prayer. Communicate to God through Christ Jesus. And he will offer you living hope, a hope that overcomes despair. Put your trust in him and faith in God. We also see that this living hope is a gift by grace. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16, "Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace." It is amazing how God's grace is extended to you and I. It is God's will that you will approach him and put him first in your lives. Because the living hope that we have is a gift. It's a precious gift from God. We also see that this living hope is identified by Scripture. Paul again writes in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we may have hope." The Bible, again, is our roadmap so that we can live a righteous life and be approved by God while we dwell on this earth. We don't know how long we are going to live. We could die tomorrow. We could die in a minute. But yet, we as Christians should be living and be and persevering through our studying, meditating, praying on God's word. And not only that, but also applying it to our lives as Christians so that we may have hope. A living hope that God graciously gives us by his mercy and grace. The living hope is a reasonable reality. And Peter says that in 1 Peter 3, verse 5, chapter, in 1 Peter 3, verse 5, "For in this way, in the former times, the holy women also who hoped in God used to be adorning themselves, being submissive to their own husbands." These women hoped in God. They knew they put God first in their lives. In all things, we as Christians should be putting God first in our lives. This living hope is secured by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? So Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Through Jesus, we have this living hope. We have a hope that's secured by his resurrection. And when we read in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, his apostles were out there looking, and all of a sudden he ascended into heaven. So he sits at the right hand of God, and he is our hope that's secured by his resurrection and his work here on this earth. Our living hope is confirmed in Christians by the Holy Spirit. In the 15th chapter and verse 13 of Romans, we read, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." We are so blessed by God's mercy and grace. He sent the Holy Spirit for us to be in us, to dwell in us, so that we can live a faithful life. We could be guided by him through our lives. And it's so evident in many, many lives of Christians when you look on their lives, how they dedicated their life to God. So the living hope defends Christians against Satan's attack. Paul writes to the saints of Thessalonica and says in chapter 5 and verse 8, "But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." We have to contend with Satan's attempt to draw us away from God. And we as Christians should have faith and love in our lives. And that helmet that protects us is the hope of salvation. That's what we're all looking for. The saints whom Peter is writing to in this letter are in this first century, and they are the saints that were dispersed throughout Asia. And why? Because of persecution. They were standing up to everyone about them and proclaiming Jesus the Christ, even though it meant their life. Just put yourself in their shoes. What would you do? Would you succumb to that Satan and allow him to draw you away from God? Or would you stand up for Jesus? Even in today's times, we are faced with many, many temptations. There are many evils in this world. We should strengthen our faith. Put God first and make sure that the Word of God guides us in our life today. The living hope is confirmed through trials. Paul says in the 5th chapter of Romans, verses 3 through 5, "And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance." It strengthens us when we have trials. And perseverance, proving character, it tells the world who we are and what we stand for. And the proven character, the hope that we have as children of God. And the hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. What a magnificent blessing we have. The Holy Spirit in our lives, guiding us, helping us to be faithful, and making sure that we grow we grow as Christians to withstand these different trials that Satan puts in our way. Also, the living hope produces a blessing. The psalmist writes in Psalms 146, verse 5, "How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Our hope produces a blessing. And when you examine your life, you could see how blessed we are as Christians. And thank God for that, because by his grace and mercy, this living hope that we have, God blesses you and I in all aspects of our lives. So we should be grateful. We should be thankful. And we should let God know that we are thankful. Again, communicate to God in prayer. Our living hope is fulfilled in Christ's return. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, we see that looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. We as Christians yearn to be with God. When a saint who is faithful passes on from this life, we are very sorrowful because we lost a brother or sister. But also we're very thankful and grateful and have much joy in our lives because that saint is going to be in heaven. And that's our goal in our lives, to be faithful. A lot of times we have difficulties, but yet we have God's word to help us. We have our brothers and sisters in Christ to help, just like when Paul was seeking the Lord and Ananias helped him find his way. Not only did he help him restore his sight, but also led him to baptism so that he could have the same living hope that you and I have that was given to us by God's grace and mercy. So the living hope, a hope overcomes despair, is a gift of grace from God. It's defined in the scripture. It is a reasonable reality when you think about this hope we have. It's secured by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is confirmed in the Christian by the Holy Spirit. What a blessing that is. It defends Christians against Satan's attack. We need that. We need the help. And God provides that for us. It's confirmed through trials. We are going to have trials in our lives. But yet that strengthens us. And it gives us the living hope which we want to have by God's grace and mercy. It produces a blessing. How wonderful that is. God blesses each and every one of us. And also it's fulfilling Christ's return. We want to be with Jesus. As Christians, we yearn to be with the Lord. One day we will. Each and every one of us has an appointment with death. We're all going to die at one point in our lives. And after we die, we will stand before the judgment seat of God. And we will be accountable for those good things we did, but also for the sin we have in our lives. And hopefully by God's grace and mercy, he will allow us eternal life. So there are the results of a living hope. And that's what we are seeking. The living hope is eternal life. We want to be with God. We want to be with other saints to honor, praise, and worship God. How glorious is that going to be? Peter goes on to say in 1 chapter verses 4 and 5, 1 Peter 1 verses 4 and 5, to attain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith or salvation, ready to be believed, ready to be revealed in the last time. Excuse me. So the inheritance, it's imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So this believers are privileged to receive a spiritual inheritance from the Heavenly Father as a result of their adopted into the family of God through faith. And that's the key. You have to believe, and by your faith, you believe that you will receive this inheritance, the spiritual heaven inheritance that each and every one of us are seeking. Believers have an inheritance in Christ. Jesus Christ as God's heir. We see in the Hebrew writer says in the first chapter in verse 2, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Believers are co-heirs with Christ. Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 17, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. So Christians, believers, are co-heirs with Jesus. Believers are heirs under the covenant. The Hebrew writer says in the 9th chapter in verse 15, for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant, so that since a debt has been taking place for the redemption of transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. That's what we are seeking. Eternal inheritance. And again, believers are heirs by grace. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. An inheritance that the saints have. They are set apart from this world, and they have that spiritual inheritance. Believers are heirs through faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, as according to the promise. We are Abraham's spiritual descendants as Christians. And we will receive this inheritance, eternal life. Our inheritance is incorruptible. It cannot perish, does not age, deteriorate, or die. It does not have the seed of corruption within it. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It cannot be polluted or defiled, dirty, or infected. Our inheritance will be without any flaw or defect. It will be perfectly free from sickness, disease, infections, accidents, pollution, dirt, from any defilement whatsoever. There will never be any tears over what happens to oneself or over the damage or loss of some possession. Just think of what heaven's going to be like. Being with other saints who love God, and he will bless us beyond our imagination. Our inheritance doesn't fade away. It will last forever and ever. The splendor and the beauty of it all shall never fade or diminish. That's our hope that we have, to be with God. By God granting us by his mercy and grace. Our inheritance is reserved in heaven. God is holding it for us. God is simply waiting for us to finish our task here on earth and go to him. Then he will give us our inheritance. How wonderful is that? For us to have that on our radar, that he will be holding our inheritance for us. And again, it's not a physical inheritance. It's a spiritual inheritance, which we are longing for. For all the faithful believers, there is an assurance of hope, of the hope. There is assurance of God's power, and God's power protects us. The might and strength of God, God's power, protects us by throughout our journey on earth. He guides us through the scriptures. Our brothers and sisters in Christ help us, encourage us along our journey on this earth. And also they admonish us if they love us. They will tell us, hey, you better get your life straight. You better get your act together and correct that sin so that you could be with the remnant that will be in heaven. Through all the trials and temptations in life, pray to God to help you through those different trials and temptations that are in front of you. Each and every one of us has different trials and temptations. So go to God in prayer and ask for his help. God will see to it that we shall reach the glorious end of life. And that is salvation. God is sovereign and omnipotent power will see to it that we receive eternal life and the inheritance that is being reserved for us. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Here is the insurance of faith. By our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a faith that loves Christ with all its heart and life. It is a faith that seeks to follow Christ and to please him and all that it does. Therefore, a continuing faith is a faith that lives a holy, righteous, and pure life that serves the Lord Jesus. Just reflect upon Jesus' life in the gospel accounts that the writers shared with us, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and see how Jesus conducted his life. and we should emulate that in ours. By faith in God's power, a true faith is a continuing faith and trust in God's power. A continuing faith is diligent and vigilant. We have to be putting God first in our lives all the time, no matter what cost it is to us. His sovereign omnipotence continuously protects his elect. He is there for you and I. If God is for believers, no one can successfully oppose them. God has our backs, and he will strengthen us, and he will protect us, and he will care for us because he loves us. Salvation is rescue or deliverance. It is the full, final, and eternal life that God, by his mercy and grace, will give to faithful Christians. Salvation is justification. For those who believe in Jesus Christ and who are delivered from the penalty of sin. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. Well, what can I say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For from the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Salvation is sanctification. Believers are continually being delivered from the power of sin. In John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of those of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say we have no sin, if we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. We all have sin on our account. We sin. We're human. We should go to God and ask for forgiveness, repent from those sins. Salvation is glorification. God completely and finally delivers a faithful Christian from the presence of sins, of sin, and brings him into eternal inheritance in his heavenly presence. The Hebrew writer says in the 9th chapter, verse 27 and 28, inasmuch as it has been appointed for men to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, also having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him. We want Jesus to return. And we're looking for that. The outcome of salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time. Believers that were undergoing the great pressure of the first century, those people that Peter was writing to, the persecution instigated by Nero at Rome was spreading in that direction. And Peter encouraged the believers who were suffering that their deliverance and eternal inheritance was in their future. We should take that to heart in our lives. What we suffer here on this earth, what we encounter by Satan's trying to pull us away from God, we should put our faith, hope, and trust in the Lord, because he is going to grant us an eternal inheritance. Faith and hope are ultimately gifts of God, and God fortifies believers so that they persist in faith and hope until the day they have obtained their inheritance, and that is eternal life. The Christian's hope is in Jesus' promises. In John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, do not marvel at this. For an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth, those who have died to good deeds, to a resurrection of life. Those who committed evil deeds, to a resurrection of judgment, a separation from God. And the Christian's hope is in Jesus' works. We read the gospel accounts of many, many miracles, many, many signs and wonders he performed. One in particular is in John chapter 11, verses 43 and 44. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to him, "Unbind him and let him go." Jesus performed many miracles that are not even written in the New Testament. But he gave us a snapshot of miracles so that we can believe, we can have faith in what he had done. The Christian's hope is in Jesus' death on the cross. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a blessing that is. And also, the Christian's hope is in Jesus' resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 23, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, all died because they sinned. So also in Christ, all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, after those who are Christ at his coming. We have to believe. We have to believe that Jesus died for our sins so that you and I can have eternal life. The Christian's hope is in Jesus' ascension. The Hebrew writer says in the 6th chapter, verses 19 and 20, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and the one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And again, the Christian's hope is in Jesus' return. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 through 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we'll always be with the Lord. That's what each and every one of us is seeking, to be with God, to be with the Lord. If you're not a Christian today, we'd like to extend an invitation to you to be a Christian. We'd like you to come forth and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and ask for forgiveness of your sins. Repent from those sins and turn your life to God. By confessing that Jesus is the Christ and believing that he's the Son of God, you will have the faith. And your faith will allow you to be baptized into his body. And when you come out come up out of the watery grave of baptism, you would put to death your old life and emerge a new creature, a child of God. And living from that point on, a faithful life in God's service. And if you are a child of God today and not walking in the right path, we invite you to come up so that we could pray with you, we could assist you, we could help you on your journey back so that you can be faithful again to God. Whatever your condition is, we invite you up tonight, this morning, as we stand and sing the song of encouragement when we all get to heaven.